Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to the second hour of Upstate Outdoors. You're listening to 106.3 WORD, or you're listening somewhere on the World Wide Web. World Wide Web through the radio.com app. Or however else you can get us. You still doing smoke signals? We're over here beside the fire.
No. 106.3.com. You can go to that.
Click 106.3.com. That still works, too.
That's the way my folks listen.
We're coming to you live from the Cabela's today on Woodruff Road. They have got their Guides and Outfitters event here, and we've talked to several of them during the first hour. And we got a couple of them that are going to be on with us during the second hour. But, of course, in the meantime, they've got their Cabin Fever sale. What better weekend to do that?
No kidding.
Have you looked through the flyer there? What
yes,
do they
I
got
have.
Going on? What do you got? What are you looking
got
at?
Got some good deals on some combos, rod and reel-wise. Even got a really good deal on a SIG pistol and fishing tackle. Fishing tackle flying off the shelves, according to Mr. Barry Davis.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back there and talk with him. Yeah. I got the little boat out yesterday. And started looking at some stuff, cleaning up some stuff, getting ready for crappie season coming up.
It's right around the corner.
Yeah.
When the time of the year you catch 10-pound bass.
Yeah.
Crappie fishing.
Yeah, I start crappie fishing. That's when I catch all my big bass.
Which so. You're going to be here telling everybody how to do that before long as well.
That's right. I got six seminars that I'm going to be doing in February here at the Cabela's. So
wow.
I got to
have your autograph?
I got to shake off all the deer hunting stuff and put the crappie fishing stuff back on and get ready to go with that.
Oh, awesome.
But during the second hour today, we're going to talk with Nathan Key from Shad Slinger Guide Service. He's fishing for some striped bass down on Lake Hartwell, so looking forward to talking with Nathan and getting a report from down there. And then Brian Sullivan, who is with Tony Creek Plantation Duck Hunt Outfit in South
Cut
Carolina.
Em.
So we'll be talking to Brian, too. And then Springer's going to bring us a calendar of events. You know, the more people that we talk to and they say, hey, I want you to tell them about we got this going on, we got that. So you got your hands full.
Good luck to me.
Yeah. And, of course, we'll wrap up the show with our parting shot. But in the meantime,
all righty, folks. Welcome into the Roadkill Cafe. Can we please have a moment of prayer? Please, dear Lord, help it stop raining immediately. Amen. Okay. On a lighter note.
It's liquid sunshine, man. I don't see what the problem is.
On a lighter note, since you don't have nothing else better to do but watch something cook for 7 hours in a crock pot, here we go. Crock pot beefy venison tips with beer over noodles. Got everything covered there. All right, you need some venison, and you need some beefy onion soup mix, carrot, celery, oil, flour, pepper, beer, and egg noodles. Pretty simple. All right, you're going to heat oil in large skillet or medium heat, and you're going to take about 1 to 2 pounds of venison steak or tenderloin, whichever one you want to use, and cut it into small tips, okay, like they give you at the restaurant. They call it sirloin tips. You're going to cut these into very small pieces, about 1 inch square. You're going to roll those in flour, and then you're going to place in a skillet, and you're going to sprinkle with black pepper. And we're going to brown that venison on both sides, all right? And then at this time, you're going to take 1 can of beef broth, 1 packet of Lipton beefy onion soup, and you're going to mix in the crock pot. Stir until everything is mixed as good as you need it, all right? About this time, you're going to add the brown venison, and if there's any drippings or oil, just go on and pour it in there, too. It's all going to make it taste better. Into the crock pot, add your carrots and celery on top, all right? And you're going to cover on and cook on low for about 7 hours on low. If you want to jack it up, you can go on high, and it'll cut the time in half. But in this kind of weather, hey, what's the hurry? You know what I mean? You're going to add 1/2 can of light beer and then cook it for 1 more hour. That's just going to give it a little more flavor. And what I like to do is serve it over egg noodles, and or you can serve it over rice, but I like it served over egg noodles. And there you have it. crock pot beefy venison tips with beer over noodles.
Beer over noodles.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I covered everything.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
The live remote today is coming to you from Cabela's out here on Woodruff Road. And we got a pretty good crowd coming in talking with a lot of our guides and
yes,
outfitters. We had our trout show, long-awaited trout show, during the first hour today, and got some really good information from some of the local guys. And you know the cool thing about the trout community is they all get along.
They do.
You know?
It ain't like bow hunters against stand hunters or bass fishermen against the other fish. You know, they all one group.
Yeah, and you think kind of looking at it, go, well, you know, I know some areas where you got guides that two or three of them get along, and it's like these small tribes, you know,
yeah.
Like we're going to go attack the other ones.
Right.
But I think the situation here, when we talked about that during the first hour, was, you know, the resources here in South Carolina are very precious.
Yes.
And there's a lot of conservation-oriented folks going on, a lot of catch and release that mm-hmm. goes on there. So it's good. It's good to see a community come together, and they're promoting the conservation of the resource, and also showing folks how to fish and fly fish, and
for the betterment of the conservation of it all, because with the big population boom in this area,
yep.
I mean, they're practically running out of places to put people.
Yep.
So they're really keeping an eye on those pristine streams and whatnot, and making sure man and modernization doesn't screw them up.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to go to our break now, and then when we come back, we'll have more Upstate Outdoors and our next guest, Nathan Key from Shad Slinger Guide Service.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, live at Compello's, 106.3 WORD. Tommy Springer, Philip Gentry will be back after these messages. All right.
And we're back. Upstate Outdoors is coming to you live from the Cabela's in Greenville on Woodruff Road. It is the Guides and Outfitters Day, and they're that way, and we're this way, according to the sign. Me and Springer are going to be near the bathroom, okay? You ever go and look for, hey, man, where's Upstate Outdoors broadcasting from? Just look for the bathroom.
Look for the bathroom.
Both of them are over their 50s,
yeah.
Okay? So we're going to be.
We're not going to be far from the bathroom.
But both of you got huge cups of coffee, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly. Well,
work.
I ain't telling you what's in mine, dog.
And right. We have got our guest during this segment is Nathan Key from Shad Slinger Guide Service, and we were talking with Nathan a little bit off air about some of his exploits before you got into the guide business. How long have you been guiding now?
This will be my sixth year full time.
Yep.
I've done it off and on for, close to 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there.
Yep.
Used to help some of the other guides on the lake when they had like multi boats and stuff like that. Captain Rick Owens, I used to fish with him a lot.
Yep.
Way back when Gary Buck, we used to fish together a little bit. But this will be my sixth year full time. I was a commercial bait fisherman before that, so I've got probably, close to 20, well, yeah, really close to about 18, 20 years of experience fishing full time for a living.
So are you entirely on Lake Harwell, or do you move off?
I do a little bit. Lake Russell is kind of a good transition place for me to go just to kind of do something different. Clark's Hill is just a little too far, but I do fish down there some.
Yeah.
But I would much rather it with Striper. They move so much. It's so hard to bounce around late in the lake. Lake Russell's good for me just to go do something different. Kind of
try to catch a big one.
Try to catch a big one. It's a trophy fishery. It's changing a lot. It's not the Lake Russell that it was 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
But it's a great place for 10 to 20-pound fish now. So I go down there and target those a little bit, kind of seasonally. It's good in certain times, and it's bad in certain times. And Russell's one of those places that I like to know people, or at least like to be able to tell them, hey, this is the way Russell fishes. It's a place to go get some bites, not necessarily to load a cooler up,
yeah.
Because you're going for quality, you're not going for quantity. Whereas Hartwell's a good all-around fishery. I mean, it's right now we're in a little bit of a funk with that fish kill we had this summer.
Yeah,
that
we were talking about
yeah.
that with I forget who we were talking with, but maybe
Brandon.
Was it Chip Hamilton, I think?
Oh,
maybe
it was Chip.
Yeah,
Chip.
Right.
Was talking about how the fish kill was, and that kind of went under the wire.
It did, you know, but this one's got more popularity, more notoriety than the ones in the past, I feel, anyway. DNR's finally starting to talk about it. I know that we just had the Striped Bass Challenge, a big tournament that came to Lake Hartwell. And part of the release fish that they were doing after the weigh-in was tagging fish over a certain weight so they could start doing a telemetry study on Hartwell to kind of figure out, hey, when these fish are dying, why they're dying, that sort of thing. Hopefully we can get the ball rolling on some stuff because there's definitely an issue. In the 6 years that I've been guiding, I've seen three good, solid fish kills and probably some to every year to some extent on the lake.
Yeah.
Now, it tends to only affect the size. You know, it doesn't affect the 10-pound fish and under. But, you know, I can remember 15 years ago, an average box on Hartwell was, say you caught 30 fish, you'd have one good one in there somewhere, one good 15-pounded up. And now, last year, the biggest fish that I got that I put in the boat was 29 and a half, which was still a good, great fish. I mean, a big fish. But that was by far the biggest fish. I can remember years where I would catch 10 fish in the 30s. In a month, in like that 1 month of like March, April, when those big fish kind of get up on the banks and they're easier to target, I'd have great months. But we just don't see that like we used to. Now, the numbers are vastly improved. The catching of 5 and 6 pounders is great. And that's usually, you know, the wheelhouse for guides is that good fish that pulls drag.
Party fish.
Right.
There's a lot of us on the lake that kind of we'll go out and we'll kind of try to get some numbers and then we transition to let's go try to catch a big fish.
Now what techniques are you pretty much a down rod fisherman?
I'm a live bait, known for live bait guy. Now I do a little bit of everything. I love pulling planer boards. That's something that that's kind of targeted strictly to big fish. Really, I mean it's not to say that you won't catch smaller fish on it, but I really like putting a big bait on a big planer board and getting up in some shallow water and seeing that explosion. That's what gets me going. But a lot of times it's hard to – it's real sporadic when that's going to be good. And it's hard to kind of pull off a good school of 5-8-pound hybrids that just pull, drag, and do right, you know, to go try to chase one bite
if
it's 15 pounds. But I got really popular with the spoons. You fish with me doing the power reeling spoons in the summertime.
Right.
So I do a lot of that. I do a lot of this time of year pulling. I actually found something new. Captain Mac makes a small umbrella rig. It's called a Mini Mac.
Right.
It's no different than an umbrella rig or than your traditional Alabama rig.
Right.
But we're pulling those under planer boards.
Wow.
With the trolling motor going like 0.7, 0.8 and smacking them.
Okay.
Mac kind of taught me about it. You know, kind of said, hey, this is what we're doing on Lanier. I took it out to Hartwell and kind of tried it out a little bit, and it works great.
Probably looks like a big school of bait.
And the thing that kills me is it's putting them behind those planer boards. So typically, if like say you're wanting that rig to be 20 foot, you put 20 foot below the board because you're going so slow that thing's almost sitting vertical.
Right.
And looks crazy. Going 0.7, 0.8, 1 mile an hour. I mean, that's slow, you know, with the trolling motor. And then fish are smacking it. I mean, it's a weird deal that I hadn't seen anywhere else. And Matt kind of, I was talking to Mac actually on the way up here, how he figured it out, how he started it, or how he thought, hey, this would work. He was throwing a rig at some schooling fish, and one of his back free lines went off, so he just set it in the rod holder. It was down like 20 foot.
Just left it hanging.
Just left it hanging. Looked up and said that rod was just going off.
Is that
on.
Amazing or what,
that's
Nathan?
Crazy. That's crazy. I mean, there's the spoons, same way.
Yeah.
There's so many of those little things that happen like that organically that just can't really make any sense, but hey, they work great.
Well, it makes sense if you think about, you know, normally you're pulling an umbrella rig and it's running behind the boat.
That's right.
And they're catching it from behind. So all they're seeing is those little tails wiggling.
Well, the way I thought about it was if you go up this time of year, water's cold, you know, upper 40s, low 50s, then the thread fin's not sitting there running around going nuts. So you take a little school of thread fin, they get in a little tight ball, they barely move. They don't really swim. They more kind of sit there and just quiver almost. And that Mini Mac is looking similar to that. It's not a lot of movement. And what we found, if you try to bump up and speed up like 2 mile an hour, you can still fish the same depth, do the same thing, but they won't eat it. They want it really slow. And I think that just mimics that slow kind of reaction that the thread fin are doing.
Yeah.
So it looks natural to them.
And they're viewing it from below anyway.
Yep.
So they're just looking up, seeing baits sitting
there
hanging out.
And the fish are lethargic. You know, this time of year when their metabolism's low, they're not looking to go out there and go nuts and
chase. They're going to do a whole lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, it's like us. If there's a stake across the parking lot and it's 25 degrees out there, it's like, I don't know if I want to walk out there or not. But, you know, you let it be summertime, we're all fighting each other trying to sprint to get that stake, you know. So.
Now, the patterns on Hartwell this time of year, is this primarily what you're doing now, is the umbrella rig fishing?
No, I still love bait. The Mini Mac's a good thing to kind of cover some water. And it's so slow that, you know, if we're sitting there fishing some down rods and I need to move, I'll have one or two out. And it's not a thing that, man, I've seen if we're sitting dead still, as long as I get them out ahead of time and they're away from the boat, they're just out there just sitting on their own. Just a little bit of movement, a little bit of water current kind of keeps that curly tail moving enough. But for the most part, I kind of try to keep them out. I still like to find those active fish this time of year, or really any time of year. Anybody that's striping fish knows that sometimes, man, you get on the fish and your graph will be lit up, spaghetti, and they just won't eat. I would rather find a school of 10 that'll eat than I had a school of 100 that'll sit there and look at you for hours. So a lot of it's covering water this time of year to me. Fishing those good places, those good likely, you know, points, humps, you know, creek channels, big flats off the creek channel, stuff like that. Key areas that those fish just kind of hold in that you can capitalize on the active fish. First thing in the morning, usually the birds give them away this time of year. Our birds on Hartwell tend to love other birds. Anybody that fishes enough, you ride down the lake, you'll see a cove with 100 birds. Man, you pull in there, you're so excited, and there's 10 looms and no fish and just all looms and seagulls. And that gets old, but they ain't nothing worse than, you know, you sitting there, especially as a guide, you're like, man, I sure need four or five more, ten more fish, you know, something like that. And you look over in this cove and it's just loaded up with birds and they're doing it. You're like, oh man, let's get in there and get it done. And you get in there and there ain't a fish in there.
And I've always experienced that the seagulls and the loons, the seagulls have come in because the loons sometimes have bait fish stuck to them.
Yeah, I've seen that a little bit. I think it's the same reason they look at the fish. When that loon swims back up, he's pushing those bait to the surface, and seagulls are feeding on that bait as it comes up. But sometimes I think you're right. So I've seen them where it kind of bounces off of them type thing as they come back up. Because I think those loons more feed up. You know, I think they, you know, they go down through it then. But for a profile purpose, seeing that bait when it comes back up has got to be easier for them.
Yeah. Now, in your guiding, are you meeting your clients all over the lake, or
yeah,
do you
I
have
tend
one,
to,
one area?
We meet probably more at Lake Hartwell Fish and Marine right there and put in at Portman than anywhere else. It's just so convenient. It's right there in the middle of the lake, so we can get anywhere. But I like to – I would rather put in close to the fish and spend more time fishing than I had running.
Yeah.
So I'll use a lot of the core ramps, like Big Oak, Singing Pines down the lake, Twin Lakes, 12 Mile, up to Glue, Fair Play, State Park up that way. I mean, any of those, anywhere that I need to go to, this time of year with the water being so high, I mean, the lake's almost foot over. There's a lot of the places I can't get in the back of the way back, like say behind Centerville. That's one of the lowest bridges on the lake. It's right up 6 and 20. I can't get under that bridge. Can't get under. If I want to fish behind it, I got to go put in at Hurricane Creek or Brown Road or somewhere up there and hope there's some fish.
And hope they're there.
Yeah, hope they're there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, that's really the only one. There's a couple, like the bridge over the bridge in the back of Big Beaver. Can't get under that, but there ain't much back there that, other than catching bait or fishing real shallow, fish get way in the back that I need to get to. But I do. I would rather put in close to the fish and spend more time fishing than running.
So if folks are listening to us and don't have a chance to come out here to Cabela's and meet with you in person at the Guides and Outfitters event, do you have a website, phone number that they can reach you?
The phone number is probably the easiest way to reach me. It's 864-940-4747. The website's shadslinger.com. Pretty much everything's on there. We just updated all the pictures, updated the rates, did everything, got everything kind of structured a little better. You can kind of find me there, Facebook, Instagram, social media stuff.
So you typically prefer to take, up to four people?
Yeah, four people is really, like, perfect. I mean, four people lets us spread out, and everybody kind of tend to rod. And usually I'll fish anywhere from at least minimum of four rods. You know, if the fish are just going nuts, sometimes you can't keep one in the rod, or y'all have all been there.
Yeah.
But I usually try to fish at least four. I like to fish six to eight if I can, and that kind of lets people spread out a little bit. I can do up to six. I mean, six is still – I've got a 25-foot boat, 25-foot center console. So six people is doable, but at six people, you know, you're kind of cutting down a little bit on each fish that everybody gets to catch, and at that point, you really kind of got to work around people, and if you don't mind getting bumped into, six is great, but four is definitely the best. You get into the twos and threes, I think from a value standpoint, that four is where it breaks to the cheapest per person, and that's typically what we fish more of than anything.
Awesome.
So, man, I appreciate y'all coming out today. This is a great, great thing y'all do for us local guys that don't get out there all that often. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Nathan Key,
Shad Slinger Guide Service. Y'all can come on out to Cabela's and come right down the center aisle and meet all the guides and outfitters here today. and be here until 4 o'clock
be
today.
Be here until 4, yep.
And just to look, it's a great event. Come on out, and we're going to go to our break right now. We'll come back with one of your buds, Brian Sullivan from Tony Creek
Y'all don't
Plantation.
Be too rough on Brian. He's nervous.
Talking about some duck hunting.
He can do it, though.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, live at Cabela's. Take a commercial break. We'll be back on the flip side. Stay tuned.
Upstate Outdoors is coming to you live today from the Cabela's in Greenville on Woodruff Road. It's the Guides and Outfitters Day. They've also got the Cabin Fever sale going on today. They've got some good sales. You can pick up the fly right as you come in the door, wad it up, throw it at Springer. He'll be on your right. And then you can head down through the middle of the store and talk with all of the guides and outfitters that are here today, including our next guest. We got Brian Sullivan from Tony Creek Outfitters down in Belton, South Carolina. And, Brian, welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, we were talking a little bit off air about the duck hunting operation that you've got there. And you said that you guys hunted this morning and killed 8 birds out of your blind. And I know some folks who've traveled all the way out to Arkansas, Mississippi this year. It's like, I ain't seen 8 ducks since I left.
Yeah.
So you guys are doing something right out there. Tell us a little bit about the operation that you have at Tony Creek.
Okay, well, it is a release bird program. We release 6,000 ducks in July. They're never in captivity again. We have the opportunity to hunt at least 48 hunters at one time. Now, that's not 48 hunters on one individual pond. We've got about 70 acres of flooded duck impoundments with 2 blinds on each pond, so it works great for corporate events or for just family events. Mm-hmm. 4-man blinds, so if you come in a group of 4, there won't be anybody there with you. But you come in small groups of 2 or singles, you'll just be paired up. And there's a guide and a dog provided there with you. One of the greatest things about what we do is watching our dogs work. They're top-notch dogs, HRCH championship dogs, that if they can see you, you can direct them to the area of the fall of the duck, and a pretty good thing to watch. But we do shoot a lot of ducks. We also have an upland bird thing going on where we shoot quail, pheasant, and chucker, which is all done behind a bird dog, and we can accommodate 7 groups of 3 to 4 on that at one time.
Now, in the duck hunting operation, do you get to extend the season, you know, kind of like you get to do with the quail season because you're using, you know, release birds?
No, sir. It is just as you guys going hunting today. So all we're able to shoot is 4 mallards, and then this morning we killed 2 wood ducks. The other day we killed a pintail and a ringneck. But that doesn't happen real often. Mostly what you kill with us is mallards.
Awesome. And what was the number that you put out again back during July?
Anywhere from 5,500 to 6,500 ducks is what we put out in July.
So you put those birds out, and I guess they kind of imprint to the area. I mean, how do you keep them within your impoundment area?
You don't keep them.
I mean,
you don't. Just to give you a little bit of advice, last year I released 6,200 last year. I killed 1,999 of those. The rest of those birds went out.
So there's a lot of local pond owners who are really, really happy that you're
here. Yes, sir.
So if you live in the Belton area, if I lived in the Belton area, I wished I had a farm pond around there.
Right.
Springer be getting one of them little swimming pools from Walmart, right? Sitting out there.
Exactly.
I just want 2 to land, enough to eat. Just two.
Exactly. Yeah. He's not kidding.
That is exactly right. The unique thing is, though, if you go on my photo gallery and look at the banded bird harvest on my website, these birds go all over the country.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. I had some killed in the Shenandoah Valley this week. One killed in Dobbins, North Carolina. Had 2 phone calls from New Jersey this morning. I'm sure that's one of my birds that got harvested.
Wow.
That way.
And very, very much different from some of the release duck hunts that I've been involved with in the past, because I'm going to be honest, some of those birds, I mean, they'd be right there in front of you and they wouldn't fly for anything. You might as well go down to, you know, Cater's Lake in Anderson to try to duck hunt.
I don't. I'm not telling you that there's not birds that don't do that on my pond, but if you come to my facility and you walk up, 90% of my birds are getting out of there. Today, my speech in the morning from after Christmas to the end of January, we're going duck hunting. If you don't crouch down and hide in your blind like you're duck hunting or turkey hunting, you're not going to kill. A kid told me this morning, he said, I pulled my hand out of my pocket to shoot, and he said, Brian, the ducks just left. I would challenge anybody that I can shoot a bird that come from Canada to South Carolina. I'll shoot that bird easier than I shoot a release bird any day of the week. But they fly great.
Yeah.
They fly great.
And, Brian, do they successfully breed and have eggs?
Yes.
I mean, you know, so, okay, cool.
Yes. And most of the time, though, with the hen mallard, she doesn't really get mature enough to do that till the next year
right.
in life. So you don't see a lot of that the first year.
Right.
But you do see it.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Awesome.
And they imprint. So I ban 90% of these birds to get feedback. But this morning we killed a 2016 bird. We've killed a 2014 bird.
Wow.
And, you know, my birds that take off and leave, and they don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to Missouri today, guys. A migratory bird or one of my birds that has been imprinted came, picked those birds up, and took them wherever.
Yeah.
They didn't do that.
And vice versa. And I know, well, I mean, by any stretch of the imagination, is the upstate in some kind of flyway, but because you've got birds that are here, those birds that are happen to come through, you know, they look down and say, oh
man,
okay, you know, it's a safe place to be, at least till morning.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Most of them got up at about 6:47 this morning when we got in the blind. It was about 50. It's to see you, boys.
Yeah.
It's like, well, there went our opportunity, guys.
And it's really unique, especially looking at, you know, mallards in general, that some of them will, I mean, they'll just become resident birds. It's almost like, you know, some folks from Ohio that come down here and say, well, we're going to visit for a little bit, but we kind of like it. We're just going to stay here. We're not going home.
That's
and
right.
The mallard kind of do the same thing.
Exactly.
And I've never been able to figure out what, I mean, you know, some people go to a pet shop or a feed and seed and buy pet ducks, but that doesn't explain a lot of the resident mallards that you see, and even, well, the wood ducks, I guess, are a little bit different. But
right.
the mallards, sometimes they just want to stay here.
Yep. Well, there's nothing to push them away. It doesn't freeze up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got food and water, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Or I'm not.
Yeah.
So.
And – so as far as your hunting, you provide a guide for them to do the calling.
That's correct.
If somebody wants to come out with their own dog and you know, they're maybe experienced duck hunter, can they kind of just go do their thing?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can. The best way to figure out if you're going to like duck hunting, I guess I am trying to sell it, is come see me. You don't have to have waders. You can come in a pair of bean boots. I've had people in tennis shoes. Truth of the matter is most of it's country club hunting. But at the end of the day, you can come experience it with me
uh-huh.
for a minimal cost as far as going and getting outfitted before I say, hey, man, I'm going to venture out and we're going to go chase wild ducks and we're going to travel the country. And like I say, it's handicap accessible.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy.
And it sounds to me like it'd be a great place, like you said, for a father and a son or grandfather to go, especially if you got handicap accessible or you got kids maybe who, you know, I've been on some duck hunts where you sat there from 4 o'clock in the morning till, you know, late in the morning and never saw a bird.
Right.
So it helps with having a game out there and giving somebody something to shoot at.
Absolutely, yes. And I'm not going to tell you to come if we're not going to see anything.
Yeah.
I won't do you that way. And back to the dog, people bring their own dogs all the time. And I prefer that it be a group of four to where it's your guys. That way, if your dog messes up the hunt, it messed up your hunt. It
right.
didn't mess up
somebody
else's hunt.
Yeah.
But it's a great opportunity to get birds in a dog's mouth.
Now, where are you folks located in Belton at?
We're real close to the Belton Gun Club. We're right off of Highway 247. So if you're coming from Greenville, down 25 toward Greenwood, you take 247 going into Belton. We're 8 miles from there.
So okay.
30 minutes downtown Greenville, hour from Spartanburg. hour and a half from most parts of Atlanta and Georgia.
So not far from what do they call that wide spot in the Saluda River right there? But is it? I used to call it Buzzard's Roost.
I don't know. All I know
Buzzard's Roost. Okay.
Yeah, Buzzard's Roost.
Okay, yeah, we're real close. So when you cross the Saluda River, that's us. Our property starts just after the Saluda River.
Okay.
And the piece of property that we hunt on is a 550-acre track right there.
Awesome.
So that's why you have everybody and the brother down at the Saluda River every morning when we're shooting ducks.
Yeah, we're familiar with Belton. We go to the Chili Cook-Off every
year.
That's right.
Okay,
that's
I'm right down the road from the Chili Cook-Off.
That's down there. I hadn't seen too many ducks in the square.
No, maybe you ought to do a duck chili at the Chili Cook-Off.
Yeah.
We'll get Captain Nathan to do
that. All right. Well, Brian, if folks are interested in getting more information from you, or you got a website, phone number where they can reach you?
Yes, sir. It's Brian at Tony Creek Plantation. You just type in Upstate Duck Hunting. I'll probably be the one that comes up. But you can contact me by email or my phone number. It's 864-304-7400.
How many days we got left to the 2019 duck season?
We've got till next Sunday, and I hunt on Tuesdays and Saturdays.
Okay.
Okay.
So if you folks, if you want to try to get something going, you got spots available left for this year?
Yes, sir, I sure do.
All right, well, you need to get busy if you want to get on a duck hunt this year.
If you think you're interested in duck hunting and you want to try it, this sounds like the deal right here.
Absolutely. Brian, thanks for being on the show with us, and you folks can come out here to Cabela's and meet Brian and talk with him, and maybe him and Nathan can hook you up with a duck hunt in the morning and a fishing trip in the afternoon.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thanks for being on the show, and we're going to go to our break now and come back. Springer's going to trip his way through the calendar of events.
Pretty much.
And then we're going to wrap up our show with the parting shot.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, live at Cabela's, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Stay tuned.
And Upstate Outdoors is wrapping up this broadcast. We got one more segment to go, but you still got time. If you're in the area of Cabela's, you can come on out. It's the Guides and Outfitters events. They'll be here until 4 o'clock. We're going to wrap it up at 2. And you can also come out. They got a sale going on, the Cabin Fever sale here at Cabela's. So come on out and buy you some stuff. It doesn't look like the liquid sunshine's going anywhere. So you got... What else you got better to do? You going to sit home on your behind and watch TV? Come on out here.
Or the crock pot.
Dream about being in the outdoors.
Exactly.
In the meantime, Mr. Springer's going to read off the calendar of events.
All right. We go from one live gig to another one, and that would be next weekend, January 24th through the 27th. That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We will be there on Saturday. It's the 49th annual Upstate South Carolina Boat Show, and that will be at the
The Greenville Convention Center,
Textile Hall,
formerly known as the TD Convention Center,
formerly known as Textile Hall. Okay.
If you've been here for longer than 20 years, it's Textile Hall.
Bingo. So that's where we're going. What's going on next weekend? And probably have a bunch of beautiful boats and whatnot. We will be there live on Saturday doing Upstate Outdoors. So for more information on that, you can go to Upstate. scboatshow.com. And then we're going to shift gears, and we're going to have a whole school of business going on up here at Cabela's. It's going to be free fishing seminars. That'll be February 1st and 2nd. Also the 8th and 9th. We will be here live on the 9th, and our own Philip Gentry will be giving crappy seminars left and right, up and down.
The crappier the better.
The crappier the better. So, and they're going to have a whole lot going on. There are going to be some other guys here. They're going to have door prizes, whatnot. And so Philip's going to try to work in doing an Upstate Outdoor show. I'm going to, you know, take the reins and do whatever I can to help him out. And he's going to be running back and forth. We're going to get him a shuttle to go from Cabela's.
Going to be a busy 2 weeks.
Going to go from Cabela's to Intercom. So
I told him, I said, we got to do at least one show from Cabela's.
Exactly. That's part of the gig, right?
That's it.
So that's February 1st, 2nd, and the 8th and 9th, right here where we're at today at Cabela's. Also coming up, our good buddy Chris Wells. He's having a wild game dinner at the Spartanburg, First Baptist of Spartanburg Recreation Center. And that will be February 7th and also February 9th. And they're going to have door prizes, shotguns, rifles, fishing rods, and they're going to have some good stuff to eat, venison hash, frogmore stew, and gator bites. I'm all about some gator bites. And For more information, you can go to fbs.org/wildgame. And also you can go to Chris Rail's website and Chris Rail's ministry website and find out information on that. Coming up February the 8th, we have a hunting heritage banquet in Aiken County chapter. We'll be having it at the Aiken County Fairgrounds on February the 8th at 6 p.m. And for more information, please contact Brian at 803-502-4378. Also coming up on the 20th of February, our own Greenville chapter of the Wild Turkey will be having a hunting heritage banquet at the St. George Hellenic Center, said it right this time, 406 North Academy Street, Greenville, South Carolina. For more information, contact Cliff Timmons at 864-616-6769, and you can also go to the NWTF and click on local events, and it will bring you right to it. And this is the most interesting thing I've seen in a while, the first annual Cracking Nuts Squirrel Tournament by our own buddy Bart Littlejohn at Carolina Farm and Wildlife, and this is going to be going down February the 23rd. They have a flyer on their website, and it's a limit of 20 squirrels, and they're going to be handing out prizes and whatnot. And for more information, you can always contact Bart at Carolina Farm and Wildlife at 864-585-0935 to get more information on that. And there's another one I need to bring up on my phone real quick. It's the Ducks Unlimited Banquet. I couldn't print that one real quick. That's coming up, the Greenville chapter. And I should have done had that all that ready. So give me 2 seconds here, and I'll bring it right on up. And if y'all will bear with me. And please come up here to Cabela's today. They've got a lot of good stuff going on, and we're having a great time. And Philip has done a fantastic job putting these guys together. Man, it's just a pleasure working with Philip. You know, I give him all the credit in the world. Springer just talks.
And I tell you what.
Go ahead. It's the Greenville DU Banquet. That's coming up on January the 31st, and it is at the St. George Greek Orthodox Church, and that's Thursday, January the 31st at 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., and for tickets, go to www.ducks.org, and there you have it, my man, the calendar events that I spit out and didn't screw it up too bad this time.
I'm very proud of you.
I know it. I practiced for an hour before I came today because I knew I had a lot, yeah.
He's looking in the mirror. His wife's going, what? So like I said, they got the Cabin Fever sale going on here at Cabela's, and everybody knows that the Cabela's, they're not necessarily transferring over to the Bass Pro Shops,
right?
But that's the new owner of the Cabela's, and along with a lot of the good sales that they got going on, I was talking with some of my underground connections there. And this is a good time to come out and just look around at the Cabela's, because a lot of the Cabela's branded stuff,
yes,
is they got to make room for it to get the
Bass Pro Shop. Mm-hmm.
Branded stuff, mm-hmm, in. You know, as part of their transition. So they got a lot of stuff at their moving out.
I'd agree. Barry Davis was giving us some 411 earlier.
Well, I didn't want to say that in case he wasn't supposed to be telling us. And JD's
ain't even here today.
Unless he's listening at home going, what? He's not supposed to be telling people that.
Yeah. And real quick, I'd like to give a shout out to Sugar Tit Custom Lures and Shane Graham. They gave us some nice stuff today, some nice looking lures. We're going to start giving those away the next time we're live here, some of it. And we appreciate you listening to Upstate Outdoors.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we got just a few minutes, so let's jump into our parting shot. Well, I got this off of wideopenspaces.com. It's a story about an Oklahoma deer poacher who was hilariously busted by game warden via a dating app. The poacher got a court date from a dating app. In a definite contender, wait, this thing's jumping around on me. No, I'm not interested in that. In a definite contender for the funniest dumb poacher story ever, an Oklahoma woman unwittingly confessed her wildlife crime to a game warden via a dating app. McIntosh County Game Warden Cannon Harrison recently and unexpectedly found his professional and private life intertwined when the unnamed woman he was chatting with on a dating app began bragging about having just shot a big old bug. The woman was obviously unaware of Harrison's chosen profession when Harrison subtly pressed her for details. She suspiciously responded with, well, we don't need to talk about that. And then they got it all up there on any the chat did a screenshot. Screenshots of the conversation posted by the wardens on their Facebook page revealed it was amazingly easy to get her to admit her crime. As soon as Harrison asked her about spotlighting the animal, she responded, "Well, yeah." And to his credit, Harrison even got the woman to send him photos of the deer.
Wow.
And admit where it was shot. Judging from the photos, she obviously didn't realize what constitutes a big old buck. She's looking at, I don't know, I'd have shot Springer to shot
I'd
that.
I'd have shot
definitely.
That one out of, yeah.
Yeah,
have
Springer
been,
to
I'd
shot
I'd have shot that one.
It's a little basket rack 6 points.
It's all good.
She likely got quite the surprise later when Warden showed up to her home to further question her about the case. And basically, I don't think he ever got a date out of it. So
wow.
That's the music. There's the end of our show. Come on out to the Guides and Outfitters event here at Cabela's. They'll be here till 4. Springer, take us home.
God bless you. Love you, mean it. Talk to you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.